Hey, this is Greg Sanders. Thanks for listening today. It's our hope that this message will help you connect to God, grow in His Word, and serve the kingdom in a greater capacity. Thanks for listening and enjoy today's message.
This week we're talking, not just this week, spoiler alert, the next 2 months, we're going to talk about and learn about how to pray bold prayers. And there's a bookmark in your chair this morning. If you cannot make it to our morning session or our evening session at 6 or 7, take this home with you today, because this will tell you what you can join us in prayer about at home. Here's our calendar for the week about praying bold prayers. But if I were to ask you this morning to take a measurement on a scale of 1 to 10, measure your prayer life, or measure how strong you feel you are in prayer, with 10 being the greatest and 1 saying, you know what, I'm really not that strong when it comes to prayer, I don't feel like my prayers are really effective when I pray. If I were to ask you to judge yourself, examine yourself on a scale of 1 to 10, how powerful you feel, how bold you are in prayer, I've discovered that most people don't score themselves a 9.8 or a 8.7. Most people kind of measure themselves in the middle. And I've discovered it's not that we measure ourselves kind of weak when it comes to praying bold prayers because we're people who are just so incredibly humble. I've discovered that many believers today are not just incredibly humble, they're incredibly intimidated when it comes to prayer. I hear people say something like this: I'm not sure if my prayer matters, or if my prayer makes a difference, or if my prayer is even being prayed the right way. I'll be honest with you this morning. This series about praying bold prayers is for me too, because I've been really guilty of praying prayers that are so weak and so generic that if God were to answer my prayer, I'm not sure I would give God the glory He deserves for answering my prayer, because my prayer was so vague and so generic in the first place, it's hard to determine whether I should give God glory or give circumstances glory. Should I give God glory or just the way the year wound up glory? So I want to tell you this morning, I believe that God wants us to pray bold prayers because God gets glory when His people pray bold prayers. I want you to be able to end 2021 and say, I know that God answered this prayer because I was bold and I was specific, and God stepped in and He did exactly what I was asking for. That's what I believe in us to do. Well, Pastor, is that even biblical? Should we pray such a bold prayer? Well, Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 16, which is our theme verse for the next couple of months, says this: So let us come boldly. You hear that word? So let us come boldly through the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive His mercy. And we might, we will find grace to help us when we need it most. I want to point out a few things to you this morning about praying bold prayers. The first things, I'll just tell you, just put your seatbelt on, shout loud, because the louder you shout, the faster I can preach. And I've got 2 messages I want to cram into this one message this morning. Here's message number 1, how to pray bold prayers. Here's the first thing: understand that we are supposed to, we've been instructed to, approach our Heavenly Father with boldness. We're not supposed to pray sheepishly. We're not supposed to pray in a manner that we think, oh God, if you have time for me, listen to my prayer today. No, we're supposed to approach God. The other word that the scripture uses in different translations is this: we should approach God with confidence. What kind of confidence? Confidence that God wants us to pray to Him. We were doing our family devotion a couple of nights ago, and the author of that devotion we were reading, he made this point. He said, God is not like our human fathers. God never says — here's the part that really pricked my spirit during that nightly devotion — the author said, God never says, not right now. Oh man, that just hit me right in the gut. Because how many times have I told my kids, not right now? right? They come to me, they ask me for something, and I'll say something like, well, let me finish this text message, or let me finish this football game, or let me finish this message real quick that I'm writing on, or let me finish this conversation with someone else. I'm always telling my kids, I feel like, not right now, but friends, you can boldly approach the throne of grace because your Heavenly Father never says, not right now. He never says, come back later. His eyes are open. His ears are open. You have His undivided attention, so we can approach Him with confidence and boldness that He's listening. Second reason we should pray bold prayers is this, is that we serve a gracious God. Listen to verse number 16. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God, not our stingy God, not our financially strapped, our emotionally tied up God. Our gracious God. He's not stingy. He's not withholding. He's not angry. In Luke chapter 18, there's a story of an unjust God, and Jesus was teaching His disciples and the crowd that day how to pray bold prayers. And He began to tell of this woman who would come to this unjust God, unjust judge, and she would plead her case. And the story Jesus was telling them, He said that this judge, even though he was unjust, eventually gave in and granted her reply because he thought, if I don't answer her request, she's going to wear me out with her request. Jesus did not just share that parable to teach us to pray persistently. He also wanted to point out the fact that the God we call upon, our Heavenly Father, is not an unjust God, but He is 100% full of grace, full of truth. That if you want some answer to social justice today, look no further than your Heavenly Father. He's the only one that's good, and He's the only one that's just. He's our source. He's a gracious God. Which brings me to my third point this morning, before I get to the real point, is that He is also our source. Verse number 16 says, there. Say that word with me this morning, there. There. We will receive mercy. There. We'll receive grace to help us when we need it most. When you come to Jesus, you've come to the right place. When you go to other people, you're going to the wrong place. I would just challenge you this morning, church, stop scrolling for hope in social media. Stop searching for life in the search engines of the internet. It's not there. Don't settle for the self-help found in a book somewhere, for it's there in the throne of grace, in the throne of our Heavenly Father. It's there that you will receive mercy and find grace, not in just the good times, but in the times when you need it most. Moses is going to teach us this morning how to pray a bold prayer. What we're going to do the next couple of months is we're going to look at some bold prayers found in the Word of God that I'm convinced we need to be praying in the year 2021. And Moses is a guy that prayed some pretty bold prayers. Exodus chapter 33, verse number 14. Moses is praying, and the Lord replied to him. Verse number 14, the Lord replied, I will personally go with you, Moses. And I'll give you rest. Everything will be fine for you. Then Moses said, if you don't personally go with us, don't make us leave this place. How will anyone know that you look favorably upon me and my people if you don't go with us? For your presence among us sets us, your people and me, apart from all the people on the earth. Then the Lord said to Moses, I indeed will do what you asked for. I look favorably upon you, and I know you by name. All of these great answers to great prayers that Moses just prayed, if God were to answer my prayers like that, if I'm praying, God, be with me. God, let your favor be upon me. I think we just sang a song about that. Lord, let your grace be known to me. Let your presence be evident in my life, so evident that I don't just feel it, but the people around my life, they see that the presence of God is with me. Moses is praying a pretty bold prayer, and God shows up and God answers him. He says, everything that you've asked me to do, I will do. Man, thank God. What a time to be rejoicing and thankful and just be satisfied with what God is doing in your life. But Moses wasn't satisfied. Instead of being complacent, he becomes even more bold. In verse number 18, then Moses said, right after God has just answered all these wonderful requests, then Moses said, and here's our prayer I want you to pray today, now show me your glory. What a bold prayer. After all the goodness that Moses has seen, he musters up enough strength, enough faith to believe that no matter what he's seen, no matter what God's done, that God still has more for him. And friends, I want to tell you, no matter how much God has done for your life, he still has more for you. He still has more for you. He has more for us as a church. He has more for me and my family and you and your family. Let's not settle for what God has done in our past, no matter how wonderful it is. Let's not just settle for what God has promised to do one day in our future, but let's ask God, Lord, do something now. Do you hear what? This is not some bold prayer, some generic prayer. It's a bold prayer. Why would you say that, Greg? Because he starts his prayer like this, now. Now show me your glory. Well, Greg, you know, the Lord would be offended if I were to pray such a prayer like that. I'm sure he would be, because he was definitely offended at Moses. Look at the verse number 19. Here's was God's response. And the Lord said, I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you. Listen to this. And I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. And I will have mercy on whom I'll have mercy, and I'll have compassion on whom I'll have compassion. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no one can see me and live. Then the Lord said, listen to this, there is a place near me where you may stand on a rock, where when my glory passes by, I'll put you in the cleft of the rock and cover you with my hand until I pass by. And then I will remove my hand and you will see my back, but my face you must not see. Father, I pray that in this moment already there is a desire in our hearts to see more of you. Lord, I pray that in our hearts, Lord, the person that's been serving you the longest in the room and the brand new believer as well, and maybe even a person or two in the room that's never decided to follow you, in all of our hearts right now, you'll do the same work. You'll cultivate a desire to see more of you in our life. So help me today, just preach the Word of God alone. I want our ears, our hearts, and our minds to hear what the Holy Spirit wants to say to us and to rejoice in what you say to us and to respond to what you say to us. And we'll give you thanks for it. Everybody in the room said amen. What a bold prayer. God, show me your glory. God had just told Moses, I'll be with you, I will lead you, I will be so evident in your life that other people will know you're my people just because of the presence, because of my presence, God says, because of my presence in your life, other people will see that I'm with you. It will be unmistakable that you are my people because I'm going with you, I'm fighting for you, I'm favoring you. What an awesome answer to a great prayer. But Moses didn't settle there. He said, thank you, Lord, for all of that. But he kept on. He pressed in a little bit further and he said, now, God, show me your glory as well. I just wonder today what would happen if you and I allowed all the good things that God has done in our past to be fuel for him to do more in our present and more in our future. What if our praise turned into a prayer that said, God, I know you've done great things in the past, but God, I believe you've got something more today. What if we prayed that way? What if we prayed bold prayers? I believe God is challenging us today to pray bold prayers in 2021. Not just prayers that shakes heaven, but prayers that would shake the earth. Not just prayers that would shake heavenly places, but prayers that would pray, that would shake the places our feet go to every day. The places we speak to and the people we speak to every day as well. Show us your glory was the prayer that Moses prayed and God answered it. And I believe that God is wanting to answer that prayer in your life as well. When Moses prayed, God, show me your glory. Moses knew it was a huge, huge request. And you might be thinking right now, Pastor, what does that phrase even mean? I mean, what is glory? If I pray, God, show me your glory. What am I even asking for? Well, glory means a lot of different things. The word used for glory in the days of the writing of God's word, it was actually an everyday word. It meant weightedness. Not just physical weight, like you measure how much you weigh on a scale, but weightedness as in how much can you trust a person. How many know that different things mean different things depending on who spoke them, right? There's a difference between if the president says something and your local dog catcher says something, right? Nothing against local dog catchers. I'm just saying there's an authority. There's a weightiness to what is being said. That was so people use the definition all the time. They use the word glory all the time to talk about the weightiness of what was being said or the weightiness of the person who is speaking. But it goes beyond that when it talks about the glory of God, because it's not like a noun. Like if someone asks you, what is a football? How many think you could describe a football? Right? You inflate it. It's brown. It's not exactly round. It's sort of, sort of oval shape. You can throw it. You can catch it. You can kick it, which is why it's called a football. With a few words, you could pretty clearly explain to someone what a football is. But glory is a little bit different. Glory is more like a word like beauty. How do you describe what beauty is? And we've used that word a lot. We would say, we've seen certain people, and we would say, oh, that's beautiful. But at the same time, you'll see a father bend down and hug his child, and you'll say, oh, that's beautiful. Beauty is it's harder to define, but you know it when you see it, right? How many times have you said, oh, that's beautiful, that's beautiful, that's beautiful? And none of them are wrong. Some of it's in the eye of the beholder, but glory is sort of like that. So we see God's glory. I want to wrap it up real quick for you before I tell you about how we can pray that bold prayer. It's glory is experienced in different ways. Number one, glory is experienced with the presence of the Lord. When Moses was saying, Lord, show me your glory, he was definitely saying, Lord, increase your presence in my life. You know, in 1 Kings chapter 8, there's an account of when the priest of God came into the house of God, and the glory of God filled that temple so much that the writer says it was like a cloud settled on that place, and the glory of God was so heavy, was so present, that the priest who was in the room, they couldn't even stand to minister because the glory of God had settled upon them. His presence was so real. All they could do was bend their knees to him and worship him because the glory was there. How many would you say, Lord, let me see your glory like that, amen, in my life? Just wrap me, weight me with your glory. But it's beyond just his presence. It's also, you can see God's glory in his provision. I think about when the disciples, one of the very few people that actually knew Jesus had just taken a few fish and a few loaves of bread and multiplied it to feed over 5,000 people. And now those 12 disciples are walking with baskets, and they're filling up baskets, one fish, one bread after another. They're filling up baskets of what just started with a handful of food. You know what they were thinking? They're like, "How can I believe we're picking all this up? There was just a little bit when we started, but now we got more than we ever needed." You know what that is? They were experiencing the glory of God. They were seeing how the provision of God had shown up in their life. And I don't know about you, but I say, "Lord, I'll take some of that glory as well. I want more of your glory, more of your provision in my life." He shows up through his presence, through his provision. He shows up through his power. The disciples experienced his glory on a boat one day when they were in the middle of a storm. I referred to this last Sunday. When they looked and they saw Jesus speak, and they said, and he said, "Peace be still." And all of a sudden the wind died down and the seas grew calm, and they began to ask the question, "Who is this that even the winds and the waves command follow his command?" That was the glory of God. The power of God was on display. And so when you pray, "Lord, show me your glory," you're asking for his power. You're asking for his presence. You're asking for his provision. You're also asking for his goodness. Pastor Dave mentioned a few minutes ago in communion, we see how far from the east is from the west. That's how far God's removed my sin and my trespasses from me. That's glorious. My past was scandalous, but now my future is glorious. That's the glory of God in my life today. And when Moses said, "Lord, show me your glory," he knew he was asking for a mouthful. He knew he was asking for more than he could ever wrap his arms around or ever communicate with human language, but he asked for it anyway. He said, "Now, Lord, show me your glory." And Jim Cimbala, one of my favorite writers, he says these words all the time. I've heard him say this a couple times in different books he reads, writes. He says this, "God will manifest himself in direct proportion for our passion for him." Jeremiah 29 says it like this, that "You will seek me and you will find me when you seek with me with all your heart." So the first bold prayer I'm asking to pray this year is pray, "God, show me your glory." Would you just verbalize that prayer right now with me? On your mark, set, go. "God, show me your glory." Come on, let's pray together. Father, show me your glory. In 2021, fill my life with your glory. Fill my home with your glory. Fill our church with your glory. Fill my family with your glory. Lord, we want more of you. So how can we pray this bold prayer? "God, show me your glory." A few ways real quick that Moses teaches us. Number one, you have to believe that God has more for you. Moses received the answer to all these wonderful prayers. And should you be thankful for all the goodness of God in his life? Absolutely. Should you be content when God does great things for you? Absolutely. But friends, don't let your contentment, don't let the glory of what God's done in your past rob you from the fact that God has glory for your present and glory for your future as well. If you want to see God's glory in your life, then you have to believe that God has more for you. I've got this really bad habit. I know you don't have this habit, but I do. I've got this really bad habit that when Megan does something really wonderful, like last week during Christmas or week before last, whatever that was, Megan made this awesome, wonderful Christmas dinner. I mean, she has, y'all know she's not from here, right? Y'all understand that? But she even made the comment, "I think I'm starting to become a Southern cook." I mean, she made turkey and dressing. Not to be confused with stuffing. For all you that are from the north, let me just tell you, there is a difference. I like them both, but there's a difference. It was wonderful. But I've got this bad habit of getting halfway through a wonderful meal, and I'll look at her, and I'll say something like this. We'll be eating lunch, and I'll say, "What's for supper?" That question never goes over well. But I ask it all the time. I don't know if I'm terrified of starving to death. I don't think that's what it is. I think what it is that what I'm eating now is so wonderful, I can't wait to see what I eat next. That's how I mean it. That's not how she receives it. But I just want to tell you, in the natural, I have a really good ability of never losing my hunger. But we've got to develop never losing our spiritual hunger. Never losing the awe, the question, the wonder of what does God have next for me? If my past has been this good, what on this earth or what does heaven have for me next? You got to believe that God has more for you. Because by the way, God has more for you. Moses has seen so much more than any man deserves, and he's asking for more. Why would someone who's received more than they deserve ever ask for more? Because he knows that he has not exhausted the grace and the giftings and the glory of God. And my friends, no matter how far God has brought you, neither have you. You have not exhausted the glory that God wants to reveal to you this morning. James chapter 4 reminds us that sometimes we don't have because we don't ask. So let's make it our mission this year to ask God to show us more than we've ever seen of Him before. I've got a dear friend of mine who, if he's told me this once a time, this is not a pastoral exaggeration, this is like reality. If he's told me one time, he's told me 100 times this statement. He would say, "Pastor, we live so far beneath what God desires for our life." I believe that. Moses believed that. After all that God had did, he asked for more. The Apostle Paul knew that no matter his condition, that God had more for me. That's what he meant when he said that phrase, "For me to live is Christ, but to die is gain." In other words, no matter what happens to me here on planet Earth, I'll know this one thing, God has more for me. He has more for you. Secondly, today, God reveals his glory to us through his goodness and his sovereignty. Verse number 19, the Lord said, "I'll cause all my goodness to pass in front of you." When Moses prayed, "God, show me your glory," God could have showed him his glory in different ways. He could have shown him his brute power. He could have shown him his awesome ability to create and to change. But instead, he took a different route. He just caused his goodness to pass in front of him. When you pray, "God, show me your glory," let me tell you how God reveals himself, his glory to you. God reveals glory through goodness. See, everything on planet Earth that is good comes from God. He's the source of everything that is good. James chapter 1, verse number 17 says that everything good, every good thing bestowed, and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. In other words, if you are seeking good for your life, it's going to come from God. The only good thing, so many people think that there's a good life apart from God, that they're going to miss out on something good if they don't seek the Lord first. But friends, I want to tell you, every good thing this life has to offer comes from the Heavenly Father. There's no other way around it. There's no other source of something good. He is the source of everything that is good. With that said, if it's good, it's from Him. With that said, let me tell you, you cannot go by your immediate interpretation of what is good and think it's from God. See, some people think, "Well, I'm in this relationship right now, and it feels good, so it must be from God. This drug I'm taking, or this lifestyle I'm embracing in, it feels good, so it must be from God. The money I'm making by cheating people seems good, but so it must be from God." No. See, sometimes what we call good in the moment actually ends up being harmful and destructive to us in the end. Right? But here's the thing. If it's from God, It's not just good right now. You can fast forward 10 years, and it's going to be good then too. You can fast forward 10 another years, and it'll be good again. See, the psalmist says that the blessing of the Lord makes a person's life rich, but it adds no sorrow to it. So, friends, you cannot judge what is good and say, well, if it's good, it must be from God. By your immediate circumstances, you've got to look to the Word of God and to the face of Jesus and let Him determine what is good, and you chase after Him, and what is good will follow your life. See, God is good. He showed Moses His goodness, not because God just forgives good, but because God is good. Psalm chapter 145 says, "The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all of His works." The goodness of God isn't just about what God does for us. It's who He is to us. God's good. God's also, He goes on to say, He talks about His sovereignty. When you pray the glory of God, you're not just... God doesn't reveal His glory just in the goodness, but He also reveals Himself through His sovereignty, which simply means God's in charge. Sometimes I've heard people say things like this: well, God is sovereign. He's going to do what He wants to do anyway, so why should I pray? When actually the opposite is true. Knowing that God is in charge should fill our desire to pray more, because we know only He is the one that's in charge. If you'll notice in the book of Genesis, when God created earth, when God created the garden, He placed man in there, and He said, now, Adam, I want you to cultivate and tend to. I want you to cause what I've planted to grow. I want you to cause what I've started to flourish. You can see from Genesis that God always wanted man's participation in His work. Can I tell you when you decide that I'm going to pray, God, show me Your glory, what you're doing in that moment is you're choosing to participate in what God wants to make happen here on planet Earth. Third this morning, realize that when we pray, God, show me Your glory. Realize that what God does not show us is also part of His goodness. When My glory passes by, I will put you in the cleft of the rock and cover you with My hand. Let me just interpret that for you real quick. God's telling Moses, I've got more for you. I've got glory for you. But I'm going to put My hand over you, and there's certain things you're not going to see right now. Did you know that when God doesn't answer your prayers, when He doesn't let you see everything you're asking to see, that too is an example of His goodness? That too is an example of His glory? The gospel singer Garth Brooks once wrote a song that said, "Sometimes I thank God for unanswered prayers." Right? How many of you got a couple of prayers you're glad God didn't answer? I mean, I'm so thankful God didn't let me marry the first three girls I asked Him to let me marry. Whew! Right? Sometimes what God keeps us from is His goodness also. Paul prayed three times, "Lord, remove this thorn from my flesh." And the Lord said, "I've got something better than removing it from you. I've got grace for you." Despite the unanswered prayers in your mind. See, some of you are thinking, "Pastor, I'm not going to pray for more of God's glory because I prayed for something long ago and God didn't answer my prayer, so I've stopped praying." Pray again. He's got more for you. And fourth, I'll close with this. When you pray, "God, show me Your glory," what you're doing is you're seeking nearness to God. And when you seek nearness to God, what is happening in that moment is God is positioning you to experience more of Him. In verse number 21, Moses prayed this bold prayer, "God, show me Your glory." And then the Lord said in verse number 21, He said, "There is a place near me." I want you to pick up on something. God had established a place near Himself to reveal His glory to Moses long before Moses asked. You picking up what I'm putting down? When Moses said, Lord, show me your glory, God didn't say, give me 10 minutes, let me create a place for you that I can show you my glory, then I'll put you in there. When Moses said, Lord, show me your glory, it's like God was saying, I thought you would never ask. I've had something for you before you were born, something I want to give to you, something I want to reveal to you, something I want to bless you with, a life I want you to live. I've been waiting for you to pray this prayer. God, show me your glory. There was a place waiting for Moses to get there. I hope somebody in the crowd has put two and two together this morning and made the recognition, you know what? Even right now, Jesus is preparing a place for me. Right? Isn't that some of the final words of Jesus? Behold, I go to prepare a place for you. If it were not so, I would have told you. But can I tell you, God doesn't just have a place, a blessing for you in your future. God has a place, a blessing for you right now in the year of 2021 in Cabot, Arkansas. He wants to bless you. If you'll be bold enough to pray a bold prayer that says, God, show me your glory. James chapter 4 says, draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Prayer brings us to the nearness of God. I want to ask you to bow your heads this morning. God, my prayer today, God, show me your glory. God, you've got more for me. God, you're good. And God, you're gracious. And God, even parts of my life, season of my life for you, where I thought you were keeping something from me. Lord, now I see even that was a season of you keeping me, protecting me, positioning me for more of your glory. Father, I'm thankful you have a place for me, a place in your presence for me. Lord, help me to seek your glory more and more before. Their head bowed, every eye closed. A couple questions I want to ask this morning. The first question today, so I want to make sure every person in the room is living for Jesus. You know, the first way and the greatest way God shows us his glory is with the salvation of our soul, the forgiveness of our sins, and the positioning of our lives from being lost to found, to being far from God, to being near to God. That's a glorious process that no one can do except for Jesus. Today, when you pray, God, show me your glory, maybe your first step needs to just simply say is, Lord, I sense you drawing me to yourself. I sense you showing me that I need to follow you with my life. Maybe you never chosen to follow Jesus, or maybe you chose to follow him a decade ago and your relationship with him has just been dormant. But today you just sense the Lord drawing you close to himself. And you know you're not following Jesus, but you know you need to start following him today. The first step to seeing more of God's glory is to become a Christ follower. Begin to follow him. And today you say, Pastor, that's me. I need to begin to follow Jesus. I'm not going to embarrass you, call you forward, anything like that, but I do want to know to pray for you this morning. Would you just lift a hand real quick and say, that's me, Pastor. I need to start following Jesus. Amen. Amen. I'm so thankful. 1 John reminds us that if we'll confess our sins, that he's faithful to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from everything that's not right. And so today, if you're not following Jesus, would you just follow me along in this prayer? I'm not going to even ask the church to repeat it today. I'm just going to ask you to personally repeat it in your heart. Father, I'm so thankful that you came for me. Thankful that you chose to show me your goodness. And God, you showed me goodness through the life of Jesus. He came to earth, lived a sinless life, died a sacrificial death, and rose again on the third day so that I could have life and life to the full. Father, I acknowledge that you are the Son of God. Jesus, you are the Son of God. And from this day forward, I'm going to follow you. So, Lord, forgive me of my past. Cleanse me of my present sin. And from this day forward, I'm going to follow you. In Jesus' name. If you'll take that prayer and make it your own, the Bible declares that you have passed from death to life, from lost to found, from sinner to saint. Not because of a prayer you prayed, but because of the way Jesus made for you to follow him into more glory. Now, church, I want to ask you to open your eyes, look at me. I've spit and I've shouted and I've jumped and made some of you think I'm half crazy this morning, because I just want 2021. What's going to happen with COVID-19? Are they going to update it to COVID-2021? I don't really care what they do with it. I just know this. I want God to show me his glory in the midst of anything and everything. Amen? In the midst of anything and everything. So I want to ask you just to join me by standing all across this room. And I would challenge you, maybe you're not a hand lifter-upper, but maybe today, just one time, you lift up your hands and just symbolically stretch them as far as you possibly can and join me in this prayer. Now, God, show me your glory. Lord, in this year, in this week, in my life, in my family, show me your glory. Lord, show me more of your power than ever before. God, show us more of your provision than ever before. Father, show us more of your presence than ever before. Father, I welcome you in every area of my life. Father, understand there's a place for me, not away from you. There's a place for me near you, nearer than I've ever been before. There's a place already prepared for me. So God, I reach out and I draw near to you this morning. I say, Lord, put me in the place of your presence like never, never before. Show me your glory. Show us your glory as a church. Show us your glory as family. Show us your glory as husbands. Show us your glory as the ladies in the room today. Show us your glory as the young people today, as single people today. Lord, every person, let us discover your glory like never, 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 never before. I just rehearse that scripture earlier from Jeremiah. When you seek me, you will find me. When you seek with me, seek for me with all your heart. I pray today we will be people that pray bold prayers, that we will pray, God, show us your glory. Come on, let's say it out loud this morning. God, show us your glory. Let's pray it again. God, show us your glory. Show us your glory, Lord. Do it this week as a week of prayer. Do it this week as we pray at our homes. Do it this week as we worship you together on Wednesday night. Show us your glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. Would you give the Lord a hand clap for his word today? We love you, Father. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. May the Lord bless you and keep you. Let his face shine upon you and give you peace and joy both now and forever. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you. I love you.
Hello, this is Greg Sanders, pastor of the Assembly here in Cabot. I want to say thanks for listening today. If you are ever in the Cabot area, we'd love to have you join us for a service. For service times, check out our webpage at theassemblycabot.com. Thanks again for listening. We hope you have a great day, and God bless.